But I am. That's what I'm
Maybe I'll just, because we have a new face of sorts, maybe I'll just, he's not new. He's actually old and Baruch Hashem, he's one of us. I'll just review more or less what I did in the last year. Maybe you'll review it for me if you have some notes. I don't know if you do. But more or less what we discussed in the last year, a number of fundamental things that relate to Tachanun. Firstly, if you see on page one of the handout that I gave you, you'll notice that there are three possible schemata, as I call them, three possible ways of dividing the Mizmor. The Mizmor actually begins with Pasuk Aleph Lamatzeach Benginos Al Hashminis Mizmor the David, and then we have the part that we recognize, which is the part associated with Tachanun. So you'll notice in number one, it's all one long continuum. In number two, it's divided into two parts, two segments. And if you recall, how do we explain the division into two segments? Do you remember? Anyone remember?
General.
Correct? Sukkim Beis and Gimel and Dalet clearly describe someone who is frightened, someone who is, in effect, fearful and frightened that Hashem is going to give him tochacha, Hashem is going to strike out at him in his anger. Pasuk Gimel indicates that, please Hashem, have compassion, chaneni Hashem ki umal oni, because essentially I am a individual who's bereft. Hashem, please heal me, ki nevalo atzomai. I mentioned in last week's shiur that there's a concept of nefesh bibehola. I think I mentioned that they say in the name of Rav Nachman of Breslov, Zechut Tzadik Divracha, that he somehow, there's some harachamim associated with him, which is that Hashem should save him, should save the nefesh from behola. When a person's nefesh is behola, that's a very frightening and certainly something which is absolutely unacceptable. It means one's nefesh has to be in order. And it continues in Pasuk Dalel again, Menashi nivalo mo'od, v'ato Hashem ad mosoi. Shuv Hashem, chalzo nafshi, save my nefesh. Hoshein l'man chastecha. He's asking for Yeshua because I'm going to discuss this book in a few moments. And this all we mentioned that what's the point of going down to Hades, H-A-D-E-S, or what's the point of dying when I'm not able to say Hodat Hashem is Barak? I mentioned last week the Ramban. The Ramban many times in his Perash Al Torah points out what is the ultimate function of a Jew to say Shach Hodat Hashem is Barak. At the point where I'm no longer capable of doing that, then essentially my life is over. Then what value is my life? And Zayin and Ches also are part of this, as Brian said, Yogati b'an chosi, ascha b'chalayim b'tosi. I'm literally, my bed is saturated with tears. B'dimosi arsi amse. Osho m'kasteini, osho b'chol tzorui. Shukach, thank you very much.
I never made coffee, so I'm just...
It's fine. It's wonderful.
It's decaf, though.
It's fine. It's even better. And I'm still, I gave it out last week. You want another one?
Oh, I don't have mine here.
Okay.
Sorry.
And then the last two came, which are tested Yudin Alf, according to schemata number two, you have actually already... No. Wait a second. Where'd you go? Fine. And the last three psukim is where Surah Menachem Kol Palem Kisham Hashem Kol Dichi. What did I say already? Why is this the second segment? Because here, notice the tone changes. What?
Personal.
Correct, it's much more personal. And we notice that here, in the first series of Pesukim, the first eight Pesukim, I'm pleading with Hashem Yisbarach out of desperation. But now, Hashem has heard, Hashem has responded, Hashem has heeded my call. He's accepted my tchina, my tfila, and as a result, till now, I was concerned about my enemies. Correct? My enemies were surrounding me, and I need the salvation. But now what happened? Correct. The tables are turned. And Yevoshuv Yibalum Yokoloivah Yashuva Yevoshuvaga. That which I experienced, the sense of being confounded, the sense of desperation, the sense of fright, correct? Now that's going to be, shall we say, applied to my enemies. So that's if you assume that the Mizmor is divided into two. Now the last, on the bottom of the page, we said that here we divide the Mizmor into four. Why into four? Aleph is a Hakdama. Beis through Vav, we said again, is that sense of desperation. Zayin already, why is Zayin and Ches different?
Personal what overture.
I'm sorry?
Personal overture.
Correct, a personal overture that is found in Zayin and Ches, and found again, Tess Yedid Al, was the response of Hashem is Baruch. That's one thing we spoke about. Then we also discussed another very significant element over here, which I mentioned to you is found already in the Shulchan Aruch. But this is the question, what is the nature of Tachanun? We asked whether Tachanun is an independent tefillah, or is Tachanun considered to be what? A part of Shemoneh Esrei. So we indicated from the Rambam that you have here on the page number 2, what is the mashma from the Rambam? That Tachanun is literally part of the Shemoneh Esrei. The Rambam here actually enumerates 8 tanoim that should ideally be observed. But under extreme circumstances, if I don't observe these tanoim, so the tefillah is not considered to be unacceptable. However, regarding Tachanun, here the Rambam says that one requirement is you have to bow down. It means we said the Amidah is said, the Shemoneh Esrei is said while standing. But the last part is said bowing down, that's called the Tefillah Sapayim. And we explained, if you recall last week, we pointed out that in the Amidah tefillah, which is Shemoneh Esrei, we stand before Hashem. And the fact that we stand before Hashem is an enormous privilege, a zchus. Ramban writes that in Sefer HaMitzvos, that tefillah in general is a chesed of Hashem Yisbarach. That we have the capacity or the capability of standing before Hashem Yisbarach and asking for Abba Koshas, asking for refuah, asking for wisdom, asking for knowledge, etc., etc. And Avraham Avinu also, if you recall the Pesukim, I mentioned them, Vayashkim Avraham Abokel, Abokel Masha'omat Shom Espanei Hashem. So therefore, we in effect can literally argue with Hashem Yisbarach about our fate, about the fate of Klal Yisrael. However, when it comes to Tachanun here, suddenly we realize the enormity of what we've done. We stood before Hashem Yisbarach and somehow had the gall, the temerity to go ahead and ask him for this and demand that and what have you. And now we realize who we are. We are obviously, as I said, relative to Hashem Yisbarach, we are but ciphers. We are but, shall we say, nothingness. And that we mentioned, if you recall, the Rambam in Hilchas Yisrael HaTorah. The Rambam describes Abbas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. So the Rambam says that how does a person come to Abbas Hashem? There are 2 ways we mentioned, but the Rambam in Yisrael HaTorah says that how do we come to Abbas Hashem? By examining the majesty of the universe, the complexity of it, the beauty of the universe, and then one is filled with a sense of unbelievable love for Hashem Yisbarach. Look what he's created, look what he's done. And then at that moment, when one realizes it, what happens? One recoils, says the Rambam, and one realizes, what am I? I am essentially but someone who is relative to Hashem Yisbarach. I pale completely and totally. I am but the mevutel ka'afra da'ara. And that's why a person at that point is filled with what? With Yiras Hashem. So here we have a similar kind of, what you call Adam Tzvei Dinim, a similar kind of dialectic that's taking place over here. On the one hand, Shemoneh Esrei, the sense of Abba emboldens me to go ahead and ask Hashem Yisbarach for Bakosha X, Bakosha Y, and the like. And then, the realization that, who am I? Relative to Hashem Yisbarach automatically brings me down from my lofty perch, so to speak. And now what am I doing? I'm involved in Tachnunim, and that's what the Tefillah Tachnun is all about. So this Tachnun is really a very integral part of the Shemoneh Esrei, and that's what we mention here. Vayomer David El Gad, we actually, this is not found in the Perek Tehillim, but in the Tachnun itself, that you have in front of you on page number 2, the bottom of the page, we have an introduction. What's the introduction? Vayomer David El Gad, Tzar Li Meod. David says to God, what is Tzar Li Meod? Tzar, the word Tzar means, we said, tight, straightened circumstances. Correct? Nipla Nabiyad Hashem. So rather I fall into the hands of Hashem, Ki Rabim Racham, of His mercy is great. Uviyad Odom Alapola. It means I don't want to fall into the hands of a human being. So basically, this is the Tachanun Tefillah, and more or less this is basically what we discussed in the course of last week. Now I want to mention that there are a number of Gemaras, and before I mention the other Gemaras, I'll mention the Tur. I think I said to you, if I'm not mistaken, the Tur Shulchan Aruch points out a very interesting Svara. I mentioned it last week as well. Now that I recall, the Tur says that we say to Hashem Yisbarach, till now, till the Tachanun, what have we done? We pray to Hashem Ba'amidah, we pray to Hashem B'Yeshiva. I mentioned the case of Yeshiva based on the famous Rambam we discussed last week also. The Rambam says, the marker for sitting throughout the entire tefillah is what pasuk? Ashri Yashir Yisachal. Even though most Rishonim argue in the Rambam, and they assume that that means to happy are those who dwell in your house, but the Rambam interprets it as physically sitting in the house of Hashem. HaYeshiva Shom Yiske HaMitzvah Yishenema Ashri Yashir Yisachal. So we basically approach Hashem Ba'amidah, B'Yeshiva, B'Yishtachavah. We've approached Hashem every possible way. So what do we say now? Now we say, and that's why the practice, Mishnah Berurah says, to get up at what point in Tachanun? When you say, we've done everything. So now we say, Nipla Nabi Hashem, now we're just essentially putting our lives in your hand. And that's exactly what really Tachanunim are all about. Tachanunim means a person ultimately realizes that he is not, he thinks he's the one who controls his fate and controls his destiny, but anyone who has a very profound recognition of what life is all about realizes that's not so. That everything is totally b'yad Hashem. That Hashem is the one who directs traffic and orchestrates everything in the world, and that's why we say, "Vanachlu lo neda manasik alach." I can't do anything anymore. I've done everything I can. I've davened b'amida, b'yeshiva, b'shtachava, b'kriya. Now the only thing I do is fall on my face, and basically, it's up to you, Hashem Yisbarach. You're the one who controls my destiny. Okay, that's just a more or less a kind of overview of that which we said last week. And one more thing, I think we said also. I just want to make mention of it. Why do we say Tachanun at nighttime? Tachanun is not said by Laila. Actually, the Shita Saramim is you probably can say Tachanun at nighttime, but generally the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Tachanun is not said at nighttime. And the reason is because I explained to you once before. What? Tehillim is not said at nighttime. That's the Ber Heitev. We mentioned this in the context of the machlokes between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. When you say the Davar Hashem Arvi Yishay, when does Sfaradim say it? Shachris and Mincha. Because Sfaradim are very makbid about this particular aspect of things, namely that at nighttime you don't say Tehillim. Why don't you say Tehillim at nighttime? Because Tehillim represents asking Hashem for what? For Rachamim. And the beginning of the night is Midas Adin. Midas Adin is Shoyrer. The Midas Rachamim once again comes to the fore after Chatzos Laila. That's what Slichas has said after Chatzos Laila or early in the morning. Ashkenazim Kaviri are not so makbid about this Kabbalistic issue, the issue of invoking the Rachamim of Hashem Yisbarach. And that's why the Ashkenazim actually say the Davar Hashem Ori, Shachris and Ma'ariv. However, as far as Tachanun is concerned, that is not the case. And Tachanun, therefore, is not said actually at nighttime. He said in Shulchan Aruch, I should mention one other thing. When else do we not say Tachanun? And this also gives us a hint as to what Tachanun is all about. When do you not say Tachanunim? Okay, Erev Shabbos. Okay, Rosh Chodesh also. Or? That's right, Brisa. Chassid means basically anytime you have any kind of a simcha, so automatically you don't say Tachanun. And it's interesting also, Tachanun is not said in the house of an Ovel. In the base of Ovel, you don't say Tachanun because in the base of Ovel, what Midah is Shorah there? Midah Sadin. And when you have a Midah Sadin, you can't ask Hashem for Rachamim. You also don't say, for example, Brichas Kohanim in the base of Ovel, according to many Achrayim. Yeah.
So why is it, having said that, we don't Sfaradim or Mahfi not do like Tehillim and Tachanun, so why didn't the Sfaradic Shema Yisrael Amita we do the Shamanu Baganu?
The Shema Yisrael?
Shema Yisrael Amita?
Amita?
Shamanu Baganu.
At nighttime as well?
Nighttime.
No, but you mean Vidui?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that there's a connection between the two. I'm saying that it could be that this cannot be said at nighttime, but perhaps Vidui can be. I don't see why you assume that Vidui automatically is a contradiction.
That's associated with Tachanun.
It is associated with Tachanun, but it's not the same as Tachanun. It's definitely not the same. Vidui actually is probably a different halacha. What is Vidui essentially? Vidui is a recognition of Chatoyim that I did, Akar Sachet, and that Akar Sachet, we also actually, Ashkenazim also included that in the Kriya Shema Lamita. Not with Vidui, but the basic idea is that a person takes the Cheshman and Nefesh, that which they did during the course of the day, that's what you should do every night. What did I do today? What did I accomplish? What averes chas v'shalom did I commit, that I violate, that I should know that I have to do tshuva for? So, or a person is meichel, anyone who caused him tzar, or anyone who, shall we say, anyone who troubled him, and you grant them mechila. So that vidui is not really connected to this issue that we are speaking about. Yeah?
Not
saying Tehillim at nighttime
because
it's the Midas Adin and we don't invoke Midas Rachman during this Adin.
Right. Just because there would be pointless or there's some sort of danger to it?
Al Pi HaKabbalah, that's not the right thing to do. I think
Ashkenazim
are not so medakdik about it. And they say Tehillim whenever they can. Yeah.
So why is it that
Ladavid
is said at
night
and not Tachman?
Okay, Akasha. I said according to the Rambam, you could say Tachman at nighttime. That's the Mashmos of the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch is not like that. The minhag is not say Tachanun at nighttime. You know, people are very, I don't know if I told you that there's in many, many shuls, one second, who's here from Toronto? You are here. So in Toronto, the shuls are not so bedakteg, they say Tachanun after Shkia. They usually daven right before Shkia, Mincha. They finish Mincha after Shkia, and Tachanun is said after Shkia, or in many shuls, they don't beklal say Tachanun. Minhag Nusach Svar, somehow, I don't know about the real Svar, like you say Tachanun by Mincha, but Nusach Svar doesn't say Tachanun Mincha. I don't think it's again. This seems to be achlokes the Rambam the tour, and the question is what as I said a moment ago. What's the nature of tachanun? Is it parash v'nesay? Not parash v'nesay. But the tour claims it's a reshus. It's an option to say tachanun. So after shkia you don't say it. But the chazili should daven before shkia. That's why in my shul we daven 25 minutes mincha before shkia. Mincha is always 25 minutes before shkia. So this way we make sure we say tachanun before shkia. What do you say? I missed it. Okay, I mean, maybe the whole thing is Shachar Zaryeh. The whole Shachar Zaryeh is Tzitzin Zvachin. Probably that's what they hold like. The Mishnah in Brach is in the fourth parak. Tfilas Amin Chad Erev. What does that Erev mean? Rabbi Nehemi says that Erev means Ad Shkia. But some say, based on the Tam in Zvachin, Minayin Ladam Shanisal Shkia Sachama, Ad Erev means Ad Tzitzin Kachonim. Yosef, that's why the Chsidim Asaymich on that Shachar Zaryeh, Tzitzin Zvachin, the Sukin Zvachin, that's why they have a Mincha till very late at night time. But in Chatzchilu, you should try to have a Mincha in the right time, namely before Shkia. That's based on the Gemara Brachas, the Mishnah Brachas, also Gemara Brachas, in Dimdume Chama, the Gemara says. That's what you should have in, you should say Tachanun. Okay, so let me just sum up what I wanted to say here, and that is that also something very interesting, that notice that right after the Tefillah of Tachanun, what do we say? I don't know if the Sfarim have exactly this Tefillah, but Ashkenazim say the Tefillah of Shomer Yisrael. You see on page number 3? You don't say that. Okay. Shomer Yisrael, Shomer Sheiris Yisrael. Ashkenazim say it. No, basically, there are really three parts of this tefillah. I didn't discuss this last week. There's number one, Shomer Yisrael. And then there's the second part, as I recall, Avinu Malkeinu Chanin in the middle. Avinu Malkeinu Chanin Vanin Keinu Banu Masim. Correct? And then you have a series of psukim on the bottom. You see what I'm saying? There are three parts to the to the end of Tachanun. One is Shomer Yisrael. One is Avinu Malkeinu. And the third psukim that I mentioned on the bottom, Zechara Chamecha, Yichazdecha, Chanein Hashem Chaneinu, you see what I'm talking about? There are three different segments. And essentially, really, the second segment that begins with the words, Misratze Berachamim, Umispayis Besachanunim, Misratze Bispayis Da'oni Kein Ozer. What do those words mean? That Hashem should be what? Misratze. What does Misratze mean? There should be Ritzui. What does Ritzui mean? Vesei Hashem Elokeinu? Hashem should be appeased, berachamim, umispayes bisachanunim, and Hashem should be misratze, umispayes, to what kind of a door? A door only. We are, what kind of a door are we? We are a door that's impoverished. Ki ein ozer, we have no one to turn to. Avinu malkeinu, chaneinu maneinu, ki ein banu masin. Asei imanu tzakam achetzo sheinu. So essentially, what are we expressing here? We are expressing our complete and total subordination to the chesed of Hashem Yisbarach, because essentially we have come to the end of our rope, as they say in Hebrew, kolu kol hakitzin. You ever heard that expression? Kolu kol hakitzin. That's a bitui in Hebrew. It means all the possible drachim of salvation have been closed, and therefore first I call out to Hashem Yisbarach that He should help me, and then ultimately I say avinu malkeinu chaneinu maneinu ki imanu masim. Means it's almost a tefillah mitoch yeyush. What does yeyush mean? Mitoch a sense of despair, as I said earlier. A sense of total despair. And if Hashem does not, we're in trouble. We are forlorn. And we realize the only way we can actually save ourselves is by turning to Hashem Yisbarach. That's essentially what the tefillah of Tachanunim is all about. Okay, now more or less that we reviewed, that which we said last week, I want now to continue and to add a number of items that are, I think also, the Fiyandi is Daiti, very fundamental and very basic. First of all, I saw actually, in the course of looking into the matter, there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara actually discusses in Megillah Chabez. I think I Xeroxed it on the pages over here. There's a Gemara in Megillah Chabez and Chabez on page number 2. Thank you. The Gemara says that Rav, you see the, on top of the page, Rav equal to Bubble with Tiny Sibur. Rav came to Bubble on a fast day. Whatever Yom HaTinus it was. Come, Krabi Sifra. The Gemara says, what did Rav do? He read the Torah. Pasach, he began. Baruch, he began with the Bracha before the Kriyas HaTorah. However, Chasa below Baruch, he finished the Kriyas HaTorah without making a Bracha at the end. Our practice is to make a Bracha before, a Bracha after. Rav only made a Bracha before and not after. Nafu Kuli Alma and Payu. The Gemara says, what happened subsequently? Everyone else fell on their faces. And the Gemara says, the Rav lo nafal anpe. Rav apparently did not what? Did not fall on his face. By the way, Takun, as you know, is called Nefilas Apayim. And where do we find that language, Nefilas Apayim? You have it actually, the Pasuk in Dvarim mentions by Moshe Rabbeinu, where Snapa Lefnei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu fell before Hashem Yisbarach. It's in Dvarim, Perek Tes. You also have it by Yeshua Ben Nun. Where is it? In Perek Zayin. Of Yeshua, it says, Vayipol Ha'arza, that Yeshua Ben Nun also fell down Lefnei Aron Hashem. So that language is the language of the Nefilas Apayim. But the Gemara continues. Look here. The Gemara now says, right after this discussion, that everyone was Nofel Apayim, Rav was not. My time of Rav lo Nofel Apayim. The Gemara says, Kasha, why wasn't Rav Nofel Apayim? Why did he do it? So the Gemara says, and the Gemara gives a number of, the Gemara discusses why Rav was not Nofel Apayim. The Gemara answers, Ritva shel Avonim Hoysa. Yeah, I assume you're familiar with this halacha, the very famous din. With this din, we actually are mekayim when on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. When we bow down, it's a halacha that we're not allowed to prostrate ourselves on a stone floor. Because this man, shall we say, the pagans, or those of the Avodah Zarah, they used to actually worship stone images. So here the Gemara says, it's a pasuk of Chumash. Ritzma shal banam ha'isa v'tanyim eva maskis al sitna be'atzicham mishtacham asolea. Oleh yachtam mishtacham be'atzicham, avon tzom mishtacham l'avonim shom yisamigdash. Okay, but this is relevant to what? To what issue? To the issue of that which been made. I think everyone does it. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. When they bow down, what do?
Towel.
They take a towel or some sort of a korim, and they somehow separate between themselves and the pool. Let me just finish the lush of the Gemara. So then the Gemara goes on to say, right after this, Iyachi Mayi Yerav, Afilu Kulunami. The Gemara is troubled by the fact that if Rav did not fall on his face because there was a stone floor in that shul, no one should have fallen down and said Tachanun. Why do we have a situation that they all did and Rav did not? Only Rav was standing somehow. That's what the Gemara answers, that Rav apparently was the one who was standing. Where am I up to? Ma'ir, your Rav, feel the cool of Nami. The Gemara says, no, Kami the Rav, Abi. What does it mean, Kami the Rav? Only he was standing over a stone section of the synagogue floor. But basically, he should have left his seat, perhaps, and gone to where there was no stone floor. But he wanted to avoid, the Gemara says this right now, why can't he go where everybody else is and be nofel alapayim? The Gemara says, l'boy l'mitzach tzibura. What a beautiful answer. He didn't want to be matzviach the tzibura. Means he didn't want to inconvenience anybody else, and by forcing everyone to stand up when he passes by. Since Rav was to go to Ador, they would have to stand up when he passed by. He didn't want to inconvenience them. That, by the way, is something that Rabbanim also are very careful about, even Bizmanenu Anu. It's a Gemara about it, actually. Gemara Kedusha. But okay, I'm not discussing that. I'm interested in something else. But in order to do this, I have to read the entire Gemara. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, what did Rab do? Rab prostrated himself completely on the floor. Means, what did the other people do? They simply bowed down with their heads parallel to the ground. And that's permitted on the stone floor. However, what is not permitted? Prostrating oneself. And what Rav did was he prostrated himself completely on the floor, and that's why on that occasion he omitted saying Tachanun. And that's what the Gemara says here. Yama Ula, L'Asr Toel Pishu Yadayim Raglayim Bulvav. What is Asr on the Ritzvah Shel Avonim if I am lying prostrate? Mashen Keng, that which they did, they were not lying prostrate, and therefore they were able to do that which they did. They simply bowed down with their heads parallel to the ground. The Gemara continues. So why did Rav do that? The Gemara says, why did Rav go ahead and do what everyone else did? Why did he have to, shall we say, only prostrate himself? And thereby, since he couldn't do that on the stone floor, he didn't do it. Says the Gemara, what did Rav not want to do? He didn't want to change his minhag. So Rav had a particular minhag. His minhag was dafka to prostrate himself, and therefore, since he wasn't able to do so, because he was in a situation where he was standing over a stone section of a shul, therefore, you see the importance of doing what? Of holding a mitzvah. Ibai same Adam Chashev Shaini, the Gemara says that an Adam Chashev is different. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, actually, that an Adam Chasher is not permitted to do the Tfilas HaPayim unless he's assured of being answered like Yeshua Ben Nun. Rashi says over here, directly below, I underlined it. The last four lines, Elokei nena klomei achakach, Elokei batuach b'masav, shunena b'tfilasav. Okay, but that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is relevant to this. I mean, there are a few important things to learn from this Gemara. Number one, the din of Eben Maskis, about now going ahead and bowing down, crushing oneself on a stone floor. A second halacha we learn from this Gemara is that even a great rav should not disturb the tzibur and somehow inconvenience them, create a tzichat tzibur and force them to stand up if it's not necessary. A third halacha we learn from here, one should not change one's minhagim. But what I wanted to mention is something else, and that's a very significant halacha regarding tzitachim, and I think it was important, that's why I felt the need to mention it. Am I allowed to bow down anywhere besides Yeshua? When the pasuk says in Yeshua that Yeshua was Nafal, Kum Lech, it mentions that what was nearby, the Aron HaKodesh. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes that when do we say Tachanun, and when are we Nafal HaPayim, only if there's what? An Aron HaKodesh. And the Sefer Torah, that's when the Din of Tachanun is applicable. However, there are those who disagree. Absolutely, was of the opinion that one could say Tachanun as long as there are Svarim in the room. What's the issue? The issue is that Tachanun has to be said Lifnei Hashem, in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore, what's called Lifnei Hashem? A Sefer Torah, or an Aron Kodesh with a Sefer Torah inside, is considered to be Lifnei Hashem. Absolutely, he held no, the presence of a Sefer is also considered to be Lifnei Hashem, and therefore one will be able to say Tachanun as long as there are Svarim present. That's not how generally we assume. That's not how generally we paskin. We generally paskin that Tachanun is said only when there's a Sefer Torah in the room. That's what says in Shulchan Aruch. Even though there are other paskin who say that Tachanun is not related to the Aron Kodesh, and Rav Soloveitchik said that if there are Svarim present, then it could also be Nafal HaPayim. Whatever the case is, I just want to mention one more thing here, just as far as the halacha, since I started with the halacha, I mentioned it already. On which side are we supposed to, when we bow down, which side are we supposed to bow down on? On the left side. The Ramah writes here, I didn't Xerox it for you, but the Ramah says, during Shachris, out of respect for the tefillin on the person's left arm, the person should bend down on the right side. If there's no tefillin on your arm, like Mincha, then you should bow down on the left side. And the Shulchan Aruch also says here that Tachanun should be recited while you're sitting. And Mr. Brewer says the all left side is facing Hashem's right side. That's your right side. What?
You think you're right? I mean, even if you're a lefty?
So what's the din? What's the din of someone who's a lefty? What's that halacha? How do we pass it?
You're always lefty.
I'm sorry?
You're always doing with the left hand.
I'm talking about as far as Tachanun is concerned.
Right, you're always using the left hand.
Correct. Right. So that's the pashtus. Rav Soloveitchik actually had a practice, however, even when he was wearing tefillin, what did he do? He actually was leaning and fell down on his left side. That's what he was noting. And he said it was not disrespectful to the tefillin to lean on the left arm while you're wearing tefillin. That's not the position that most people have, because the Rambam was against it. However, whose position did he follow? The Vilna Gaon. The Gaon was noting like that. The Gaon was noting to be nafal apayim when always on the left side, even when you're wearing tefillin, the Gaon held that's what you're supposed to do. Okay, now I want to just get down to really what I'm really interested in talking about. All this was just by way of a little hakdama. Now I want to go through a piece which I think is absolutely amazing in the Tachanun, and I want to go through a bit more carefully in the language of the Tachanun. So you want to say it to me, I'm sorry.
In the Gemara, it seems to show that Torah reading was before Tachanun. But, is that an issue? Like, Tachanun's part of Shema Esrei.
Yeah, that's the Pashas, I would say. It's considered to be part of Shema. You're asking why this Gemara Megillah you're referring to?
Yeah, he said that you did Torah reading first, and then Tachanun.
That's a very good kasha. Very excellent question.
Was that mincha before
we started? What?
Was that mincha on fast day? So you take the Torah out before you do Shmona Esrei.
Oh, excellent, beautiful, Brian. Baruch Hashem. You're a member of Hatzalah, saving your Abayim. Excellent, beautiful. I mean, it's a Pashup Chan. Excellent. Okay, what I wanted to talk about was the following. I want to talk about several psukim in the Tachanun. One pasuk I already referred to, but I want to discuss it a bit more. Pasuk Vav, ki ein ba mavis zichrecha, B'sha'ol miyodelach. What did David HaMelech say? What's the point of my dying? When a person dies, at that point, can a person be Mekad Hashem Shamayim? Can a person mention the Shem of Hashem Yisbarach? Can a person say Shalach V'odot Hashem Yisbarach? Obviously not. And therefore, what is the person saying to Hashem Yisbarach? He tells Hashem Yisbarach, what's the point of my dying? I don't want to die. I want to remain alive. Because as long as the person is alive, that's when a person can be Mabek or Shamay. When a person is alive, that's when you're able to do mitzvahs, you're able to do chesed, you're able to go ahead and connect to Hashem Yisbarach through Limud HaTorah. So therefore, in effect, this is exactly what we are saying over here. And this is a very significant statement. Other statements like this, actually, that I will show you. And if you remember, you probably do remember. In the Hallel, especially, we have a number of such statements. Do you know what I'm referring to? If you remember the Hallel a little bit, we have a similar kind of statement that Dafka, or even without Hallel, if you remember a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos in Perek Dalet, Yofesh Sho'achas B'tshuva Masim Tovim B'olam Hazeh L'kol Chayel Rabo. This is a mistake that people make. I shouldn't say people, but I would say, let's say Socrates, Lahabda. Philosophers, they preferred and they opted for death. They felt that once a person dies, so then my body will be separated from my spiritual part. And then they thought that's when I'll live the real life. This is a very, what?
They'll be better off.
Correct, they'll be better off. This is a very famous Socratic notion. It's also found among many, many philosophers. And it's something which is very antithesis of what we subscribe to. The moment a person dies, so at that moment, of course, he no longer is capable of literally carrying out mitzvah Hashem Yisbarach. He's no longer capable of doing anything which will bring him on a high level, Elam Haba. That's exactly what we are working for. We're working for Haskin Azucha Beprozdor, Kedesh Tikonis Tetraklin. Make yourself ready here in the Prozdor. What's the Prozdor? The corridor, and then you should come to the Traklin, to the main hall, which of course is Elam Haba. And that is exactly what we are striving for. And so the point being, that's what Chazal say, that the real life is the life that we have in this world, not the one that is going to be, shall we say, in the world to come. And we know, for example, we have many indications, and this is actually found, I could even tell you the best examples, of course, are the stories that are told about Gedolei Yisrael. They say that the Vilna Gaon, prior to his death, what did the Gaon do? The Gaon began to cry. And then he took out his tzitzis and he kissed his tzitzis, and the Gaon said, look, just for a few kopecks, I don't know how to translate kopecks, for a few shkolim, for a few pennies, thank you, look what I can be zeichet to. I can be zeichet to in the midst of tzitzis. And the Gaon realized that the emes is that to leave Olam Hazeh and no longer have the capacity to mekayim mitzvahs is literally the most dreadful fate that one could possibly give zochah to. It's very interesting that the Ramban and Chumash divides the creation into four different categories, as you probably know if you learn Ramban. There's domain, tzomea, chayim, medaber. What is domain? Inorganic matter, inert matter, and then let's say a rock and the like. Then there's tzomea, which of course is the vegetable kingdom, plant kingdom, chay, of course the animal kingdom, and medaber. So one would think that perhaps since the third group is called what? Chai. But what does that mean when they speak of chai? Chai only means, in what sense? Their chayim is based purely on instinct. It's not based on a bechira. It's not a chayim which is based on the ability to choose between tov and ra. Only the medaber, which is the human being with the logos, with our sechel, our intellect, has the ability to machin between tov and ra. And so therefore, we work in this world, and Olam Haba is already Chai Neshamos. Olam Haba is for Neshamos, is for people in Yitz Hashem, their souls are going to enjoy Olam Haba, whatever, we don't exactly know what Olam Haba is, but here we say, Ki Ein Ba'mam Zichrecha B'Shol B'Yodelach, that both Maves and Shaol don't offer us much, because we are obligated to go ahead, and shall we say, in this world, we're obligated to do everything that we possibly can. And therefore, a person should live life to the fullest. And living life to the fullest, of course, means that a person should say, Shalach, Tzakadosh Baruch Hu, a person should be in the kind of mitzvahs, a person should be running after chesed, a person should be involved literally in every single aspect of Limud HaTorah, because all these are zechusim that a person actually gathers in order to be able to ultimately come to the Olam Haba, which is the Olam HaNeshamas, which is, shall we say, already a different world. But the real, shall we say, locus for fulfilling actually all the actions that one should do is not in this world. That's a very significant statement. I felt the need to point it out. Ki ein b'mav zichrecha b'shol miyodilach. As you know, the term is lo v'shamayimi. The halacha is paskin according to the chacham who live in this world. They are the ones who are koveya. The Gemara says hayom la'asosan. Today, that's when you do mitzvahs. Umachar l'kabel scharon. And tomorrow means when a person passes on, he's going to receive the schar for that which he did. But this is exactly what Chazal say, and I thought you would refer me to a number of psukim in the Hallel. And I don't have a sitter with me, but if you have a sitter, I will show you in the Hallel. There are some significant psukim that are relevant to this idea, which it's not the major focus of my discussion of Tachanun, but I felt it's important to mention.
Pains of Shem, the righteous, the death of the righteous.
Oh, I'm coming to the... I'd like to say it in the Rosh HaKodesh, if you don't mind. Because that's how David HaMelech wrote it. There's Hallel in here, I assume, no? Yes, there is. So let's start over here. It's very fascinating. You have... Kimat, the entire Hallel has this theme. I'll just give you one or two examples of what I'm referring to, where you'll see it pretty clearly. Afafuni chevli mavis. This is in Kuf Tes Zayin, I believe. Afafuni chevli mavis. What does that mean? The pains of death encircle me. Umitzari shaol mitzoni. Again, the same story. What does mitzari shaol refer to? Here it says, the confines of the grave have found me. Tzara biyagon emtza. Why is that tzara biyagon? There are many pshatim, but one pshat is because the person is literally hanging between life and death. Uvishem Hashem ekra. So what do I call to Hashem? Ona Hashem, Malta Nafshi, save my soul. Chanun Hashem Mitzadik, Velokeinu Rachem. Show me Psoim Hashem, Dalosi, save me, Vli Yoshia. Shubi Nafshi Lenuchoichi, return my soul. Ki Hashem Golan Oichi. And what happened? Ki Chilatsta, Nafshi Mimavis. What has Hashem done? Of course, He answers my Tvila. And what does it mean, Ki Chilatsta? He delivered my soul from what? From death. Es Eini Mindima, Es Ragni Midechi. And therefore, Es Alech, Lene Hashem, where am I now walking? The Arab Sasachayim. That's exactly where we want to walk. Even though there's a Beis HaKvaros in Beit Shemesh called Eretz Achayim. But it's Lashon Saginor. It's used metaphorically. But basically, we want to remain alive. We desire life. And that's what the entire, shall we say, Perek is concerned about, the struggle. And that's a struggle which, of course, is a very ongoing one. But I think, is that what you mentioned? You mentioned another pasuk. I read a bit later, also in the Hallel, Min HaMeitzah Karosiko. Again, a person is in straitened circumstances. He calls to Hashem. Hashem li bi'ozoi, tov lachzas Hashem, kol goyim sabuni, sabuni gam sabuni, sabuni chidvorem do'achu kiesh kotzim, do'achu d'chisam li po, which means I was almost, what do you call it? TKO? Tactical knockout, or perhaps even a full knockout. Vashem azoroni. I don't know much about boxing, but I was mechalik yesterday between a TKO and a...
Yeah.
What do you call it?
Yeah.
What's it called?
KO.
Thank you. A knockout. So anyway, whatever the case is, I'm about to be knocked out. And I ask Hashem again, Yimin Asher Osechoyo, Lo Amus Ki Echyeh. The whole Hallel. I want to live. Vasaper Masiko. So I can say the Shvach of Hashem Yisbarach. Yasor Yisrani Ko, even if Hashem Yisbarach has been Yasin me, even if Hashem Yisbarach has chastened me exceedingly. But what's the key? V'lamoves loynus anon. That's right. That's a beautiful nigga. How does it go again? Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
It's well there. Okay, let me hear it. Go ahead. Let me hear it. No, but I want the line before. Thank you. That comes after that. Yeah, What does that mean? Thank Hashem, then, Odeka, Zehashar, Lau Hashem, Sadikim Yavavavo. I'm not known for my musical aficionado qualities, but whatever the case is, you see the Yisod, the Zelb Yisod is Takanun, that even if Hashem is Miyasa me, I'll rather take Yisurin, but the key is what? He didn't let me die. Why? All this is for what purpose? Piskul Yisharei Tzedek, so I can do what? Say Hedon Shemach Hashem Yisbah. The whole Hallel, from beginning to end, is one of the Yisodis of Hallel. This is exactly the same idea that's found here in Takanun. Thank you. And that is that Ki'ein okay, I wanted to talk about one or two other psukim also in the Halal, but actually, even this idea is we have to appreciate life. And appreciating life, of course, means using it to the fullest. It means something else, if I give a little musa, if you don't mind, not wasting a second of time. Chazal say, actually, that the Gemara says that Heilech Batel Ki Yashim Dami. A person who wastes his time, it's like he's sleeping. And what is sleep? The Gemara says the other brachas. Sleep is 1/60th of death. There's an expression in Hebrew to kill time. Are you in English? Not in Hebrew. Everyone is trying to figure out how to kill time. Why? Why would they want to kill time? Time is life! Time is the ability to be bocher between tov and ra. That's what creation is. It's Netzach Netzachim. What else is there? And yet people spend their days trying to kill time. Today I'm going to play golf. Tomorrow I'm going to tweet a tweet on my Twitter. I love that expression. Who came over today? Rabbi Willing. He saw an article that I wrote. He just went absolutely bonkers. He said to me, as much as you even know about tweet, they tweet on a Twitter. I don't know what I'm talking about, but whatever the case is, I heard that expression used by one of my children, and so therefore I absorbed it osmotically and wrote it in an article. That's what the generation is busy with, trying to entertain themselves, trying to find shashuim and tanugim to keep them busy. To kill time. Time is life. I'm not saying you can't relax. I'm not against relaxation. I'm in favor of relaxation. But you can relax with the Ramban al Torah. And even the Chiddush Ramban, Abba Bas, you can also relax with. I find that very relaxing. And if you really have to relax, so then you're allowed to go ahead and do something. At least you're involved in sports where you at least have some exercise, or you'll be able to, it will improve your body tone, your metal, METTLE. So there's value to that. But just, I'm not saying that people waste time to kill time. That's exactly what the pasuk says. Ki ein ba mavi zichrecha, v'shol miyodelach. They say the Gaon. This is madrega of the Vilna Gaon. I don't come near that madrega, but they say. Oh, I didn't realize what time it is. It's me. I just did one pasuk. I have a few more to do. They say the Vilna Gaon. At one point in his life, his sister visited him, and so he told his sister, "You see, I have white hairs. That means I'm closer and closer to the grave. And so even though you're my sister and I would love to spend time with you, but ain't this man." And so he sent his sister to his wife, to his Rebbetzin, to have a TRT with her. This is Madrega for the Vilna Gaon. I am not at that Madrega. My sister would have come to me and I would tell her such a story. I can't tell you what would happen to me. So I'm not holding by that Madrega. But silly, I understand where the grind is coming from. Now is the time to learn, especially all of you in your Baruch Hashem, your younger years. This is really the great opportunity. I spoke about this at a Vad, 20-minute Vad last week, a little bit about that. And here also, I somehow, you know, when you're older, you begin to think more of these terms. It's a very frightening thing. But it's something you should not, Bachman Litzlan, turn a person upside down, but rather be a tamritz. It should be somebody that should be doch of you to learn more, to do more mitzvahs, to do more chasadim, to connect more to Hashem Yisbarach. This is one of the most beautiful ideas that's found in the Tachanun. You see, it's really the very epicenter of what Hallel is all about. And the Hallel is basically the opportunity. Hallelu ko, hallelu abde Hashem. I'm no longer what? Says in Medrash, in Kuf Yud Gimel. I'm no longer an eved to Paro. And who is Paro? Paro represents the movies. Paro is Twitter. Paro is iPod. And Paro is, what else do they have?
Facebook.
And Paro is, I don't know, there's a whole slew of things. That's Paro. The opportunity to be an Eved to Hashem is Baruch. Halu Avdei Hashem. Till now, I've been Meshuba. Till now, I basically, I'm in bondage. I'm a servant. I'm a serf. And now suddenly, Baruch Hashem, I am no longer incarcerated by all these material items and the like, and I can be an Eved Hashem. And what's an Eved Hashem? Someone who can say 24/7, Shvachim v'kilusim to Hashem is Baruch. So there, this idea is found very much in Tachanun. I fall on my face, I said to Hashem, it's up to you. It's all you, but I have to be serious. I have to be meaning. I have to mean what I say. It has to be authentic. It has to be meaningful. It can only be meaningful if the person manifests it in his behavior. Okay, maybe I'll do one more time because I have a few more things I want to say at Tachanun.